Good morning. Monday means Monday Punday here on The Inner Life. And just a reminder, if you have a pun that you would like to share with me, send me the pun along with your name, your city, and your parish by clicking on the link on our show page at relevantradio.com/innerlife. This week's pun was sent in by Joshua from San Felipe de Neri, that's St. Philip Neri Parish in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Joshua writes, "My parish priest is well known for his long homilies, so now I just call him the Our Father."
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Well, thanks, Joshua, for today's pun. If your pastor happens to be listening to that, I apologize on your behalf. And, yep, I'm casting all the blame on you, Joshua. And thank you for joining us today here on The Inner Life for some help in cultivating your inner life and drawing nearer to the inner life of God himself. My name is Patrick Conley. Canon 989 in the Code of Canon Law states that after having reached the age of discretion, each member of the faithful is obliged to confess faithfully his or her grave sins at least once a year. This canon is quoted in the Catechism in paragraph 1457, and the very next paragraph in the Catechism advises, "Without being strictly necessary, confession of everyday faults, venial sins, is nevertheless strongly recommended by the Church. Indeed, the regular confession of our venial sins helps us form our conscience, fight against evil tendencies, let ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the life of the Spirit." Now, I know many people who go to confession much more than once a year. I also know some folks who have told me that they haven't been to confession in much longer than a year. Admittedly, it's an easy habit to fall out of. While for some, it might be a deliberate choice not to go, perhaps there's disillusionment or misconceptions about the church or about the sacrament in particular. Perhaps there's shame about having to admit particular sins. But for many, I suspect, the reason for not going to confession is that it just kind of falls off the radar, and there's a lack of intentionality in getting back into the regular habit of going. Well, today on the program, we're looking at confession, and I hope we can provide you with many reasons to deepen your understanding and love of this wonderful sacrament, the tremendous gift that it is, even if you go regularly. We'll take your questions about confession, but I hope to hear especially from you if you have a great testimony about how the sacrament of confession is such a personal gift. In fact, we'll even open up the phone lines early today. Our number here at The Inner Life, as always, is 888-914-9149. That toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. Give us a call with your testimonies or questions about the sacrament of confession. Joining us as our spiritual director today is Father Tom Wilson. Father Wilson is the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota, part of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Father Wilson, welcome back to The Inner Life. Good to be speaking with you.
It's great to be back, Patrick. I heard the intro with that pun, and I know it didn't come from Lakeville, but it probably could have.
Yeah, that's right. I struggled a little bit with that one because, I don't want to be planting seeds or ideas in people's minds, but it was pretty good when I heard it or when I saw it. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that in and of itself is worthy of causing someone to go to confession, but I will say this. I am grateful that we're talking about this wonderful sacrament today, especially during the holy season of Lent. Maybe just starting off today, Father, why is confession so great? I think it's great, but why is it so great?
You know, I would put confession in the great category with the rest of the sacraments in that it is an objective reception of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that we talk frequently about, well, can God forgive sins, you know, outside of the sacrament. And we do know that God is not limited by the sacraments. But the beauty of the sacramental life in the church is that it is objective. We know that God is working through those external acts and signs to give us grace in a very objective manner. And so when we use the sacrament of reconciliation and confession, and we're saying our sins and we're hearing those words of absolution, it brings a certitude to the reception of the mercy of God that other ways that people will often put forward for forgiveness simply can't provide.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think it's such a gift to be able to hear those words coming from Jesus through the person of the priest, of course, but coming from Jesus himself, I absolve you from your sins. There's just nothing like it. I mean, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins. It's a great gift. You can sense that the grace of God is just being given to you and, remaking you in some sense, transfiguring you, making you more into the likeness of his son.
Exactly. And when we talk about the mission of the church, the mission of the church is healing. It's reconciling the world to the Father through the person of Jesus. And so fundamentally, this is the most important thing that we would do as priests. It's the most important thing that we do as the church, encouraging people into that spirit of reconciliation and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Father, as I mentioned in the open there, obviously some people do fall out of the habit of it, of doing it regularly. And yes, it is required to confess at least our mortal sins, our grave sins, at least once a year. But why more frequently? Why does the church advise people to go more frequently than that?
Well, I think that the real reason is because the church wants us to continue to grow in Christ. And our recognition of our sins and the things that create barriers between us and the Lord and barriers between us and other people prevent us from growing. And the humble recognition of those things is the first step in then overcoming them and allowing us to continue to grow in the Lord. He wants us to grow, and we do talk about obviously the necessity and the gift of the sacrament of forgiving our sins, but what's often underappreciated is that the use of the sacrament itself also helps us to grow in our strength to fight against sin. And mm-hmm. and I'll go there and maybe people don't like it, but it's certainly something that we as Catholics need to own. And I just call it a Catholic minimalism, where the conversation is often, all right, Father, what's de facto, it's what's the least that I can do? What is the least that I can do to get into heaven and to live a good life and all of that? And in fact, I think we need to flip that question on its ear and say, how can I be the best that I can possibly be in serving the Lord and living for the Lord? And so the minimal question is, of course, confess your mortal sins. But the more important question in terms of how do we grow in the Lord and continue and be the best disciple we can be is recognizing the big and the small things that create those barriers and doing what we can to eliminate them so that we can make sure that our growth is unhindered.
Mm-hmm. Our spiritual director today, Father Tom Wilson, as we're talking about confession, if you have a testimony to the greatness of the sacrament in your life, how you've really met the Lord there, or if you have a question, as many people do, and that's very legitimate, give us a call. Let us know what that question is, what your testimony is, by calling 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. If you prefer, you can always send us an email. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, we've got Anna Marie, who's calling in from Palm Desert, California. Good morning, Anna Marie. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you. Good morning. Much like Father Wilson said a couple of minutes ago, I wanted to just give a testimony. I had been committing a particular sin through the course of my young adult life, like in my 20s and 30s. And finally, when I was in my 40s, I was able and willing to go to confession, face the music, and actually say the words to somebody that really through the priest to Jesus that I'd been doing this and had been, I don't want to say a habit, but it just been something that I just kind of always wrote off as, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But then I realized, no, this is keeping me from staying close to God. I need to stop. Well, when I finally had that conversion in my heart and my mind that I don't want to do this anymore and I need to stop doing it, but first I need to go to confession, it was like the desire or the temptation to ever do that again just stopped. It evaporated after that one confession. And I just looked at that and I said, then I don't know why I don't go all the time for this, the other things. You know, they're not all horrible, but they're bad enough that they weigh on me and I want to change. And confession absolutely did that for me, like instantly. And I just believe that it was my sincerest desire to have that and my asking for the grace to avoid that sin again. And I just, anybody who's you know, on the fence about going, if you really believe that this is what you want to do to get close.
Well, we might have lost her there, but yeah, Father, go ahead.
Well, thanks for that message, Anna Marie, that witness. And you know what? I think the one thing that I might add to your testimony that's implicit in what you said is your own confidence in the grace of the sacrament to help you to overcome, and your own confidence that the Lord would actually forgive you. And I think that part of what prevents people from going to confession is there's a shame factor, and I would say at times maybe a lack of confidence that whatever it is that's burdening us in a life of sin can't be overcome, and her decision that she wanted to overcome that also inspired a confidence in the sacrament and in the Lord to really overcome whatever it is that she was struggling with. And then the recognition, and that's, you know, her description is a really good description of the growth in holiness. It's like, okay, I've experienced the Lord's mercy and I've grown in this area, and then wow, I've got other areas I need to grow in, and so I'm gonna keep going. And so as we experience the abundance of God's mercy and the clarity of vision that comes from that, we begin to see other things that maybe we had never noticed before that the Lord is inviting us to overcome by His grace and His forgiveness.
What I love, another thing that I love about her call, Father, and thank you again, Anna Marie, for that great testimony about going to confession and seeing the Lord work as He promises to do in and through the sacrament. One of the things that I really love about it, too, is that she was, I mean, God was after her even before she went to the confessional, right? I mean, it was, He was definitely expressing this, bringing her to this point of, yep, I need to do this. I need to not just kind of pass it off as not that big of a deal. But I need to get in there, own up to it, and accept God's forgiveness and grace and guidance and healing and counsel, all the wonderful things that come through the sacrament.
Yep, and God inspires us first, you know. And one of the things I will almost instinctively tell people who maybe have not been to the sacrament in a long time is how did the Holy Spirit, how did God inspire you to come today to do this? And that's often a kind of a nice opening to help the person begin their confession. And they need to understand it is the inspiration, the grace of God that is the catalyst to bring them into the sacrament.
Yeah, nice. Very good. Anna Marie, thank you so much again for the call. Appreciate it. Again, if you have a testimony to give about the sacrament of confession in your own life, or if you have questions about the sacrament of confession, maybe it's been a while, or maybe you go regularly, but you still have questions about a particular experience or encounter that you had in the confessional, give us a call. 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Father, you mentioned in just responding to Anna Marie's call that shame might be a deterrent for people going, a lack of confidence might also be. Any other thoughts on why people might not go regularly or might not maybe even put it off beyond that obligatory once a year?
Yeah, I think the shame factor is quite high, particularly in some of the things that people struggle with. I also think, frankly, there's a significant temptation among people that the sacrament isn't necessary. This isn't. Yeah. I can go straight to God. I can go straight to God for forgiveness. That's what my friends who love the Lord and some other church say. And so why can't I? You know why why do I need to do this? Why would I want to do this when I can go straight to God? And that's, I think that's a very significant temptation for people. And I, you know, and I heard a young adult say this years ago, it can sometimes be hard. I mean, it can just be, it can be difficult to go and to articulate and to say these things, before another human being. And that is just, that is a big thing to be overcome, that needs to be overcome, because in fact, it is hard. I mean, we are humbling ourselves before the Lord to say out loud the sins that we have committed, but that humbling of ourselves also creates that avenue to grace and a tremendous amount of freedom, just a tremendous amount of freedom. I heard this once said too as well, the sacrament of reconciliation and penance is the only sacrament that people will say, well, we don't really need to do that, or I can do that myself, or whatever. I have never had somebody come and say, can my grandpa baptize my baby? They have no problem coming to the clergy, the deacon or the priest, and say, can we get our baby baptized? Or most people don't have an issue with clergy witnessing a wedding or even being there at mass. But when you get to that place of confession, it's like, well, I should be able to do this myself. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way our sacramental life works. And frankly, I think it helps us to grow in humility as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there is a lot of that in terms of the, as you were saying, and just being in articulating it, you're in articulating our own sins. It is difficult. It is hard, and it's not easy. But I liken it, I guess, somewhat to going to the doctor or going to the dentist. It might not be in the way up in our list of things that we want to do. But nonetheless, if maybe we were a little bit more cognizant of the sickness of our souls, as we are like with the sickness of our bodies, our teeth, our mouths, or that sort of thing, we might be a little bit more inclined to say, you know what, like Anna Marie did, I got to get this taken care of. This is not going away on its own. It is something that I need to get in there.
Yep. We go to the doctor for our body. We should go to the doctor of souls, the divine healer for our souls as well.
Yeah, we certainly should. We're talking about the sacrament of confession, the great sacrament of confession, here today on The Inner Life with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson. If you have a testimony to give about one time in confession that was extraordinarily meaningful to you, we'd love to hear it. 888-914-9149. Or if you have a question about the validity of the sacrament, about how to go about the sacrament, maybe it's been a while, give us a call. We'd love to entertain those questions as well. 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're off into our first break, but we got lots more of the conversation to come right on the other side of it, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio, on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks for listening today as we're talking about the sacrament of confession with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, pastor of All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Well, we've got some great testimony already given to us by Anna Marie. Let's also go to Molly, who's calling in from Northern Iowa. Molly, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you for having me talk.
Yeah,
I wanted to share my testimony. This last spring, my son made his first reconciliation as a second grader. And that the Holy Spirit really worked in me as someone who hadn't gone to confession for over 30 years to attend my kind of a first reconciliation for myself again. And I can say even though I was very nervous and I was very, just a lot of feelings, as you had mentioned, guilt and shame and all of that. I went in, I unburied all of those things. And we happened to take a picture following our experience together of that first reconciliation. And I love that picture because I'm smiling. I feel lighter. I'm happier because of that gift of forgiveness.
Wow. Thank you very much, Molly. Are we still with her?
Yeah. Yep. She's still on.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing that. That's a beautiful story. And I think that it's a good place for us to interject that the sacramental preparation is a very common place for people to onboard back to the sacrament. And we try in our formation programs here to encourage the parents to use the sacrament, whether they are a regular user or not, or haven't had it since they were confirmed or whatever, but to use the grace, because I mean, very practically, if your children see you using the sacrament, they're going to themselves. They're going to recognize mom and dad need it, and so do they. So I'm just curious, in the sacramental prep program, did the program encourage you to use the sacrament yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Very much good. So.
Good.
As a model for our children. Yes. So
that
was part of it for me. So.
Yeah. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for coming back. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And you've just encouraged an awful lot of people listening.
Yeah,
to do the same.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It is that time of year. In fact, we've got our first confessions coming up for our first communicants coming up this week. So Molly, thank you so much for the encouragement, for the story. And yeah, thanks for coming back, sister. It's good to have you. It's good to have you in the fold again, as it were, and so much unburdened, as you said, from all those sins. So thank you so much, Molly. Appreciate the call. If you have a testimony or a question about the sacrament of confession, we'd love to hear from you at 888-914-9149 again. And Father, maybe just springboarding off of that, off of Molly's call, let's talk a little bit about the frequency of confession. What is recommended? What do you recommend to your parishioners?
You know, that's a very good question, Patrick. And I think that the general norm that I would suggest to people who take their prayer life seriously and understand the importance of the sacrament is to do it about once a month. That just seems to be a pretty good cycle for most people to be able to do those frequent and routine examinations of conscience, to recognize small things before they become big things, and just using that grace as a normal and routine component of their spiritual life.
Yeah.
And frankly, as we use the sacrament and use the sacrament well and get more honest with ourselves, the more that can be a catalyst to our spiritual life and our growth in the Lord as well. So I look at about once a month to be a nice cycle for most people to use the sacrament.
Yeah, yeah, I like that, and I especially like what you said before it kind of builds up, and that's exactly what does and can happen, right? Is that if we're not confessing our venial sins, which is, you know, that's not absolutely required, but at the same time, it is something that, if they're left unchecked, they can start to snowball and become, before we know it, become grave sins.
Absolutely, absolutely, and the frequency of them grows and the like, and so, take care of it when it's a seedling and not before it becomes a bush. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. Well, thank you, Molly, again for the call. Appreciate that. And Janelle, let's go to Janelle calling in from Greenfield, Minnesota. Janelle, welcome.
Thank you. Basically, my story is I was raised in the Catholic Church and, went away from it years ago, and I was away for over 30 years, and a friend challenged me to look into the questions that I had, so I kind of studied my way back into the church. And in doing so, I knew that I needed to go to confession. It was on my heart. And, you know, I had some questions about, you know, why can't I just confess to God directly? Why do I have to go see a priest? And, you know, it was just so laden on my heart, I knew I had to be obedient. So I tried to go to confession three different times. And there was huge traffic jams, and one an accident, which is quite hilarious because I live in a very small town. And the third time, I was the next in line to go into confession, and the priest came out and said they were done for the day. And to me, that was just the devil trying to keep me away. And I just recognized it as that and thought, I must be on the right path. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I was able to go into confession. And at the end of it, when it came time for penance, and to kind of give you a little bit of backstory, when I was little, my dad died, and I was 13 when it happened. It was obviously very difficult for me. And so I never told anybody this, but every night I would ask Jesus to hold my hand and say the Our Father. And that's how I coped. And I did that every night for years. And the priest, when it came time for penance, he said, I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus to hold your hand and say the Our Father. Hmm. And I'm sure he thought that was kind of a weird penance, but clearly he was listening to the Holy Spirit. And to me, it was just an affirmation that God was there. God was listening, and God was always with me.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Janelle. That's a beautiful story, and it's an inspiration to us, but it's also just a clear recognition of the Lord working in you and in the priest. And I want to thank you for your perseverance to keep going. You know, a lot of people, you know, if they had that barrier put in front of them, you know, they're ready to go, and then something happens that prevents it. Really, really easy to just turn around and say, well, just not going to do it now, or can't get the courage up, or whatever. So thank you very much for doing that. I think you bring up a good point in terms of actually what happens in the beauty and the grace of the sacrament, and that is that the priest is listening to the Holy Spirit as well. And I think any priest who hears confessions will testify to the fact that things will come out of their mouth that are not from them. I mean, things will come out, or scripture passages to be read, or whatever, that are not thought out. They're not planned in advance. They come out of the mouth, not knowing exactly what's coming out at the time. And then they become meaningful, and that's really a testimony to the work of God in the sacrament, that it's not by our wits that we do this. It's by the grace of God on our side, as well as the penitent side. So thanks for pointing that out, and welcome back to the church. We're glad to have you.
Absolutely. Janelle, thank you so much for the call and the story, and I love it. I love it that the Holy Spirit, and, you know, to her point and to your point too, Father, the devil must hate, the enemy must just hate the sacrament of confession.
Can't stand it. Can't stand it, because it's the sacrament removes barriers. It removes barriers between us and God, and the enemy hates the most us getting closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Janelle, thanks again. We've got a couple of questions that are coming in about validity of the sacrament, Father. Dan is writing in, emailing in. He said, last time I went to confession, I fumbled the act of contrition, forgetting the last part. And the priest said, that's okay, and proceeded with the absolution. But then, Dan writes, he fumbled the absolution and said, I absolve you through the ministry of the church. May God grant you pardon and peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I don't want to be scrupulous or overly scrupulous about it, but I know that proper matter and form is required for the sacraments. So I left not really sure if it was, strictly speaking, valid. I have no doubt that he intended to give absolution, but does leaving out, quote unquote, of your sins invalidate the absolution?
That is a very good question, and I think it does not actually. The absolution formula is it's probably about two short paragraphs long, and my understanding in the reading of the sacramental instructions is that as long as they're the part of the formula that says I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is included, that should be a valid absolution. The actual formula itself is slightly longer, but some of the words before don't determine validity or not validity. That's my understanding and reading of it. So my guess is that probably was a valid receiving of the sacrament. If you have questions, it's probably best to maybe the next time you go to confession to just say, you know what, the last time I was here, I'm not certain, and take care of it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you for the email, Dan. Appreciate that. Let's go now to another validation, or is it validity question? Connie is calling in from Nevada. Connie, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I recently went to confession, and the priest said, I don't give penance. So, you know, I'm just like, I was taken back. And the problem with that, I had brought my young grandchildren, and so they were kind of at a loss too, you know, and I asked them and they said, well, we just said a bunch of prayers, we didn't know what to do. I mean, why would a priest do that?
I have no idea. I'm sorry, I just can't, I can't speak to that. Penance is an essential part of the sacrament. Again, I'm not sure that the penance itself is necessarily would invalidate, but penance is essential to the sacrament in the recognition that we're doing some act in response to the sin that hopefully is going to help us to grow and that sort of thing. I can't really. That's certainly not my mindset, and so I would have a difficult time speaking directly to that. I suspect the mindset of the priest might be something like the mercy is free, and so there shouldn't be an act attached to it or something along those lines. But I really can't speak to why a priest would not give a penance. That's, I have to tell you, I think that's the first time I've ever heard that. And I've been around a long time. I hear things frequently that maybe the priest forgot or something like that, but I have never heard anything said like you just said, Connie, where the priest consciously says, I don't do that. Hmm. So I can't speak to that mindset. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am sorry to hear it, Connie, but at the same time, is Connie's response maybe into something like that, is that a good thing to do then? Just kind of maybe assign yourself a penance, or just go out and say some prayers?
No, I would. I would do that. Yep.
Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Well, hopefully not many of us have. I don't think I've ever encountered that in my 14 years as a Catholic now. I've always been granted. And now sometimes the penances are a little bit bigger, as it were, and sometimes mm-hmm. they're smaller. But it's important to remember, of course, the penance aren't earning our forgiveness. I mean, the grace of God is indeed free. But at the same time, it is an essential part of the sacrament, as you said, Father.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Connie, thank you for the call. I appreciate that, and we're grateful for it. As we're talking about the sacrament of confession here on the Inner Life, we're talking with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, and he is leading us through this discussion on the sacrament of confession. If you have questions too about the validity of a confession that you were part of, or maybe you have a testimony to give about the meaning of the sacrament of confession in your own life, give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to head into our second break, but we've got more of the conversation on confession with our spiritual director, Father Tom Wilson, coming up right after this.
Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer, and Patrick Alog on the phones for us today. Thank you to the both of them for their good work in putting together today's show. Our spiritual director today is Father Tom Wilson, and talking about the sacrament of confession, which is always important to our spiritual lives and particularly a focus during this holy season of Lent. If, by the way, you haven't yet tuned in to Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, check those out and sign up to receive these short videos opening up the Mass to each and every one of us and explaining what's actually going on and why do we do the things that we do in Mass. Check it out at relevantradio.com/Lent. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. Father, some great discussion thus far, and I think one of the questions that frequently comes up when it comes to confession, and specifically as we get into conversations maybe with those who are not of the Catholic faith or not of the Catholic tradition, is, well, where do we see this in the Bible? Where do we see the scriptural basis for a sacrament of confession?
Yeah, that comes straight from the near the end of the Gospel of John in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, and I would find it very difficult to have a direct reading of that that did not conclude that the gift to forgive sins is given to the apostles and then passed down through the ministry of priests. When Jesus walks into that upper room and he says, "Peace be with you, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you forgive are forgiven." He doesn't tell them to go out and announce to everybody that their sins are forgiven. He says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven." So he has given that that grace and that gift and that charge, that mission to the apostles, to priests, and in terms of standing in his person and forgiving their sins in his name. So it's quite clear that it's who sins you forgive are forgiven, so it's obvious to me, and I'm not sure that how people who actually know that scripture passage respond to that or not, but yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that, Father. Let's go back to the phones now. John is calling in from Boston, Massachusetts. Good afternoon, John. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I really appreciate the topic, and I've heard a lot of my story and all your calls. I'm 58 and was raised in the Catholic Church and schooling. As always, I looked for outs when I was younger and certainly try to hit the once a month confession now, and I do appreciate what I get out of it. I'm calling, there's a part of the Mass called the Confiteor, if I'm pronouncing that correct. And for me, that was always my good out, and now that I've got an 18-year-old who really loves to investigate outs, what would be the best way for me to explain? Because to me, the Confiteor seemed to be kind of a all-encompassing confession, which kind of gave you that out of not having to go to a true confessional once a month.
Oh, that's a very good question, John, and lots of people have sort of probably walked through that on their own journey. Live with that with people in their life. And the truth is, the Catechism and the teaching of the Church are very clear that our penitential act, penitential rite at Mass, does produce the forgiveness of venial sins. So that's important to remember. It's venial sins. It's not mortal sins. But I would say that the argument, if you will, to somebody who says, "I don't need to do this because I'm going through the penitential rite at Mass," would be in the sacrament. You are taking the process of asking for that forgiveness from one of thought to one of act. All right, it's one thing to think and articulate in your mind, if you will, what those things are. It's another step, and frankly, a very large step to actually act and speak them. And that acting and speaking helps us to grow in our both our humility, but also our love and relationship with the Lord. And it's probably not a great analogy, but I think it actually does fit. You know, when people will say, you know, and this is your situation that you're describing, John, is a classic Catholic minimalism. It is. It's like, okay, this is the minimum I got to do. So why would I want to do any more? And you take it, well, you know what? We could probably, most of us could probably live okay on a white bread sandwich with peanut butter and a couple of vegetables every single day of our life. We could. Mm. I mean, you know, a reasonably balanced diet. But we don't do that, do we? Because there's more to experience, and there's more to grow, and we want to experience that. When we're using the sacrament fully and completely in the context of a serious spiritual life, we're going to continue to grow. And so we don't want to be chasing the minimum and the outs, as you aptly described, but we want to be chasing the growth and the deep relationship with the Lord that we want in the depths of our heart and that He wants with us.
Excellent. I hope that helps, John. It is a good question, but I like your response, Father, classic Catholic minimalism. It's something that, yeah, and your analogy is a fitting one, too. Just think of all the great stuff that you'd be missing out on if it was just a peanut butter sandwich and some vegetables every day. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, great. Thank you so much for that. Let's go now to Araceli, calling in from Santa Clarita, California. Araceli, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is because every time I go to confession, and if I get the specific priest, when I start to say the act of contrition, he'll stop me and say, no, no, just repeat after me, and he'll say the Our Father instead. And, of course, I repeat it after him. But I'm wondering, does that invalidate the confession?
Are you still saying your act of contrition?
No.
Okay. Have you indicated your sorrow for your sins in some way, maybe?
Yeah.
Without,
yeah.
Okay. Sure. Then he's giving you a complete absolution. Then it doesn't invalidate. That act wouldn't invalidate the sacrament. But again, like an earlier call we had, Araceli, it's an act that I just don't quite understand. Why a priest might do that in the sacrament, trying to circumvent, if you will, the actual recitation of the act of contrition. That doesn't really make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I would suggest, Araceli, is just ask. You know, if you have time in the confessional to say, you know, why not the act of contrition complete or whatever it is, or maybe even outside the confessional and say, you know what, that's not my understanding of the ritual or the formula. Is there a reason that you do that? And not in an accusatory fashion. No priest likes to be accused of not doing something right or whatever, but just politely say, you know what, that's not the way I learned it or whatever. Can you explain, you know, why you did that, and give him a chance to respond.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good advice. I mean, this is one of the things too that I try to tell my religious and religious ed students as we're preparing for, say, school or CCD confessions, that, yeah, I mean, it's never wrong to ask the priest. The priest is there to help you through it, right, Father?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Let's see if we can squeeze in at least a couple more phone calls here. Marcia is calling in from Michigan. Marcia, welcome.
Hi. I'm curious as to why penance is such a an essential part of the sacrament. If God's grace is free, you know, I've been a missionary for 20 years. I am not of the Catholic faith, but my husband was. And he passed a couple of years ago. And so I've been exploring because my cousin is actually a Lutheran pastor. So, you know, very similar to Catholic. And I've always been curious, why is penance so important to the sacrament?
If you don't do penance,
does it invalidate your confession? Because I wholeheartedly believe in a lot of the things that Catholics do. I've gone through catechism or gone through the catechism book, and I really agree with you guys, but that's my one main question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, the penance really has a couple of different aspects to it. Number one is to recognize in some kind of a material way, whether it's prayer or action or whatever, what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Okay, again, it's taking us beyond just thinking it. The other thing is that the penance itself is intended in a spiritual manner to help the person develop in habits or other exercises to help them to not do it again. So this is a, for example, in relational kinds of things. When people are confessing something relational, I will often have as at least part of a penance that person do or say something kind and generous to the person that they had that relational difficulty with. Okay, so it's an act and it's an exercise that takes us beyond just the forgiveness, but also to a pattern of behavior and some small acts that will help us to change the habits and the behavior to not do them again. So I do not believe that, for example, forgetting or whatever to do a penance would invalidate the sacrament. I think the church is pretty wise in ensuring that valid sacraments are not difficult, and minutiae and such don't invalidate them. That's to ensure that we're actually receiving the grace and that sort of thing. So thank you for the call, and thanks for your continued search into the church.
Yeah. Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate that, and appreciate the call too. Down to just about a few seconds here before we ask for your blessing, Father, but I thought I'd end with Anne wrote in an email and said, wanted to thank you for the topic. Sacrament was not emphasized or encouraged in parish or home after she made her first confession. Didn't go to confession again for over 40 years, but then 3 years ago, going through a particular time, the priest spoke about the healing power of confession after Mass. So took him up on his invitation to participate in the sacrament, even though he wasn't best prepared or thought out confession. It was life-changing. So she said, priests, yes, encourage and enable participation in the sacrament, and people should know there is nothing to be afraid of and so much to gain. So I thought that's just a nice little way to wrap it up.
What a perfect way to wrap it up today, Patrick. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and we would also like a blessing from you, Father, if you would.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, Father in heaven, we're grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, our divine healer. Help us to continue to renew in him through the gift of the sacrament, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Sorry to these people who called in, but we couldn't get on air. We'll revisit the topic again sometime very soon. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Forgiving Others with our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson. And coming up next, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with our celebrant, Father Matt Seminar. Stay tuned for that. Until next time, grace and peace.